welcome to the Brown Bowl podcast. This is a podcast created for the love of food and meant to support you on a journey to making more vegan choices, no matter where you are along the way. I'm your host, Kim Sujovalski. I'm a teacher, a certified plant-based cook, and for years, I've been helping people go vegan or take more steps in that direction by teaching you how to cook delicious vegan meals, get back in the kitchen, and improve your relationship with food. So are you ready? Lace up those trainers if you're going for a walk, or grab a cup of coffee, get comfy on the couch, and listen in. Hey everybody, I am so glad that you're here today. It's finally time for a new episode. We didn't have one last week, and that always means one thing. It means I missed you because, you know, we took a little break. I told you about that in our previous episode, and I always miss you guys. I always miss recording when, you know, when it's one of those weeks. We really wanted to take a week off to kind of loosen up our schedule a little bit and relax and enjoy the final weeks of summer. Can you believe that summer is coming to an end? If you're listening to this, you know, when we're posting, you might be listening to this, I don't know, in the middle of winter or in the middle of fall of next year or whenever it is you're listening. But right now, as I'm recording this, we're in the last kind of part of our summer holidays, and it's kind of sad, but it's also exciting. I love the fall, so kind of looking forward to it, and also kind of want to stretch the time out a little bit. And that's kind of one of the things we're going to talk about today. You know, another thing that's been going on is I've been doing this MBSR course. If you don't know what MBSR is, you're going to hear a lot about it today. It's mindfulness-based stress reduction. And it's all about mindfulness, and it's a completely different approach to what you might have heard of when you think of meditation or mindfulness. This is something that is very unique and very special, and you're definitely going to be hearing about it in, you know, when it comes to our eating habits and food and everything I teach you about mindful eating, because, well, you're going to hear why today. And today we're going to talk about the lessons that came to me through this course, thanks to a little itty bitty teeny tiny raisin. And yes, raisins can teach us a whole bunch. So today we're going to get into that, and we're going to talk about the topic of mindfulness and about eating mindfully, but in a way that we haven't talked about before, because we're really going to kind of zero in on the moment of eating itself and how to actually do it, how to be mindful. And I think it's going to be pretty cool. This course is, it's really been kind of changing a lot of things in my perspective. And it just keeps showing me again and again that being mindful when we eat is such a key part of being, of eating healthfully and of just having a good relationship with food. And as you'll see in today's episode, it helps in other areas too, because we're going to talk about that. And what else is going on around here? Well, we've been cooking up a storm. We've been kind of in the beginning stages of something pretty cool that might be coming to Brown Bowl, but I don't want to say what it is because it's so in the early stages that, you know, a lot of things can change from this point on. And I'll tell you more about it if we finally decide to do it and to take it to where it might be going. And that's always exciting. And I don't know, we've just been very busy. Another thing that happened yesterday, actually, is I threw my back out. I threw my back out exercising. And it's not a pretty thing. If you've ever had this happen to you, I hear you. I feel you. It's completely uncomfortable. This had never happened to me before. I've had kind of a stiff neck out of, you know, after sleeping in a weird position, something like that. But I had never actually had this amount of pain in my back. I've been basically sleeping on my floor. Well, not sleeping on my floor. I've been sleeping on my bed, but I've been laying on the floor for most of the day with this little foam roller that I have for, you know, just to release tension in muscles and stuff like that. I've been just rolling around in this thing, on top of this thing, for hours on end and just laying on the floor because that's the only thing that doesn't cause me tremendous pain, because everything else does, you know, moving my head up or down or moving my arms or kneeling or anything like that. It's just, oh, it's so painful. I am much better today, thank goodness. And I hope to be out of this by tomorrow. So I hope I can get it. I can get through this episode. Right now I'm cheating and I'm sitting upright in my chair, on my chair, in front of the computer to record this. So I hope I can get through the whole episode without my back going completely insane. And I want to get started right now because we've got lots to talk about today. And it's going to be a very fun and kind of a different type of episode. So I'm very excited. But of course, before we do, I just want to tell you about a resource that I think you're really going to love. And in case it's the first time you're listening to our podcast and you haven't heard this little announcement before, and you're kind of interested in the topic that I'm talking about today, the topic of eating mindfully, of improving your relationship with food, of, you know, releasing the dieting mindset and all of that, a great resource is our online program, My Brown Bowl, which you can find out all about if you visit www.mybrownbowl.com. It's an online program. It's ongoing, which means you get new videos every single week. It's basically a vegan cooking program, but we also get lots of this content in there to help you improve your relationship with food and to help you find a normal place with food and eating. You know, every day when I read some of your comments and emails and I see some of the comments and emails people leave in other websites, I can still feel how food has become this fear factor, right? We're so afraid of what we're doing wrong, what we should be doing right, when food is actually quite simple. And that's what we do in the online program. We simplify things. Of course, the main thing is helping you cook delicious foods in their vegan versions because everything we do is vegan. But no matter where you are in your journey, you can, you know, just dig into the recipes and take what you like. And it's a great helpful tool if you're in your beginning stages of going vegan or if you're a long-term vegan that wants to kind of vary up your meals and your menus and also improve your relationship with food or you need support on this journey. And it's super cool. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can check out our trailer for the program, which you can check out by visiting www.mybrownbowl.com. And all of the information is there. You've got testimonials from our members. You've got all of our membership plans, and you can check it out and see if it's right for you. And I think you might love it, especially if after listening to today's episode, you're a little bit curious and you want a little more support when it comes to finding balance with food again, because it's something that a lot of us are needing and craving. And I give you lots of tools in the online program. So I hope to see you in there. But now, without further ado, on with today's show, which is all about raisins. Not really, but we're going to talk about a raisin today. You know, there are some moments in my life in which I realize that time is just swooshing by. So when I was telling you about the summer coming to an end and me being a little bit sad about that, this is what I'm talking about, right? I kind of go through these moments in which I start waking up wondering how an entire week just went by and how it could possibly be the holidays if we just had the holidays, right? Or, you know, how just like in the blink of an eye, the summer has come and gone. The summer just, I just didn't even see it. Where did it go? And, you know, in that second, I feel this huge sense of overwhelm. And I feel overwhelmed because I quickly notice I've entered a kind of slightly old but familiar territory. And it's that I've been going through my days and checking stuff off my to-do list, and I haven't really been present. And being present is such an important part of, you know, not only being mindful when you eat, which is what we're going to talk about today, but it's so important to happiness and enjoying life and enjoying those small little moments, right? You know, it's one thing to not be present during a busy kind of run-of-the-mill day, right? But it's quite another when this starts becoming a pattern and it kind of seeps into those, you know, good, simple day-to-day moments that bring joy to life, right? Like these stupid little things that we see and we sometimes don't even notice, but that really are kind of the essence of being here, right? I don't know, like when you notice the little bird singing outside your window, right? Or when you're just sipping the most perfect cup of coffee that was just made by the most incredible barista on this planet that just knows how to do their thing. And this is just the perfect cup of coffee. And we're really right there into it, tasting it, feeling it. You know, everything is quiet and still, and we're just in that moment enjoying this delicious taste, right? Those moments, they kind of swoosh by when we're not present. And don't even get me started on those big, big once-in-a-lifetime moments that you're just never going to get back, right? Like, for example, walking the streets of Rome during your first trip to Italy or Europe, or, you know, the moment in which you get married or have your kids if you have kids, or standing at the top of the Grand Canyon for the first time. Those big moments that, you know, they're kind of once in a lifetime moments. I think our lives have become so busy and so dependent on schedules and technology and gadgets and the millions of tasks that we have to do every day, that although our lives are filled with more things and activities, we kind of feel that we're in the state of not being anywhere, right? And I've been feeling this recently. And, you know, since I was a little girl, I've been one of those people that finds so much joy in the little small things, right? I'm totally the coffee example girl that's just completely into the coffee and just loves that little moment where everything's quiet and you're drinking that cup of perfectly brewed coffee or looking at that little bird singing outside. I'm totally that person. I am totally that person. I've been that person since I was a little girl. It's those little teeny tiny moments that just kind of really catch my attention, probably because I'm almost 100% sure that my mind is kind of just really, really scattered all over the place. And those little things are the things that catch my attention. So, you know, I've never been one for huge gestures or these huge, big moments. And, you know, I just love those little moments, the little moments that make you smile throughout the day. And, you know, my fondest family memories always, always happen in the midst of the totally mundane stuff, right? When we're, I don't know, eating popcorn on the couch and the dogs are performing. If you follow us on Instagram, you've seen this, right? Our dogs performing their kind of usual staring contest to see who can tip the bowl of popcorn over with the power of their doggy minds. You've seen these pictures, right? They become these popcorn zombies. It's those little moments that just fill my life. And it's those where I have all of my fondest memories. It's those little tiny moments, right? That's what brings me happiness every day. And when I feel that sense that time is moving at warp speed and I'm feeling like it's taken over the reins and I'm just being pushed through it, I know exactly what has happened. I've lost the little moments. I've lost my little moments that I need so much to find balance and joy, right? And I've lost those little moments because I'm stuck in any other time and place that isn't the here and now. And I know that it's a cliche to talk about the here and now and being present, but it's totally a cliche for a reason. This is what kind of helps us get centered and enjoy what we're going through right now without being stuck in another moment and worrying and stuff like that, right? So I just think that there's nothing like that blissful feeling of being present, right? Fully engaged, feeling that time is kind of standing still while you take everything in, that things are moving slowly, that you have time to do the things that you love, that you have time to go through even the things that, you know, are not as fun, things you have to take care of because you're a normal human being that has, you know, responsibilities in this world. Just slowing down. And, you know, that you just have all the time in the world and that the constant frenzy that is in our heads has gone kind of eerily quiet. There's just nothing like that. And, you know, there are so many moments in our life that I can remember as almost in slow motion and with perfect detail because of really being there, right? And this act of full presence, it's something that can be wonderful in every aspect of our lives. But of course, since our blog and our podcast and everything we do at Bramble is all about food and our relationship with food, I can tell you that the act of eating is one of those things that can be completely turned around the moment you start paying attention and actually sitting there and being present. You know, what's even better is that when we're looking to accomplish this in other parts of our life as well, the act of eating is actually also the perfect opportunity to practice that art of being fully aware and being mindful. So do you see where I'm getting at, what I'm getting at? The, you know, eating and the act of eating is the perfect opportunity to practice getting back into center and quieting the mind and being really mindful. That's what's going to change your relationship with food. But food is also an opportunity 3+ times a day to practice being mindful in other areas of your life, to practice. It's just really a practice. It really is. It's, you need to get better at it, because everything in our life and in society right now is telling us to scatter and divide our brain in a million pieces, to handle everything, to multitask, to try to get everything done perfectly. And it just doesn't work. It just does not work, at least not for someone with my personality. And I'm pretty sure that it doesn't work for a lot of people, right? And I've talked so much in this podcast about being mindful while you eat, right? Especially being very attuned to your hunger and fullness signals before your meals, right? Being attuned to those signals before, but also during and after eating, right? And that is certainly part of the process of improving your relationship with food. But what we haven't taken the time to talk about is that precise moment of eating itself and what sort of things we can do to really kind of focus and center ourselves in that moment, because it's such an easy moment to just zone out, right? So what I'm talking about here is, you know, what happens after you've noticed that you're hungry, because that's always the first step. We have to gauge whether we're hungry or not, or whether we're bored or sad, or we want to get comfort from food, or if it's something else other than hunger, right? But once we've noticed that we're hungry and we've determined that we're going to eat and what we feel like eating, and we've cooked and we've served a delicious plate of food, you grab that fork, what happens next? That's kind of what I want to talk about today. And yes, a raisin is going to make its, the raisin, the famous raisin that's in the title of this episode is going to make its way into the story soon. So, you know, what is usually happening in countless tables after we grab that fork, after we've gone through all the process, and maybe not even all the process, because what's really happening in most tables is people are completely unaware as to why we're grabbing food. Many times it's not because we need sustenance and nourishment and because we're hungry. It's for many other reasons. And we're going to talk about that in an episode about emotional eating very soon. But what's happening in countless tables when we grab that fork is that it is the perfect moment of what I like to call Houdini-like escapism, right? We grab that fork, we start eating, and then in a blink of an eye, the food is gone. We were lost in our train of thought or in conversation or in the TV program we're watching, and we have no idea what just hit us, right? So food Houdini-like escapism can happen for a number of reasons. And I'm going to tell you what some of the common ones I see are, right? So first one, you know, although we've been looking forward to our meal, we still have tons of rules associated with eating. And you've heard me talk about this so much in our Dieting Chronicles series. You've heard me talk about this in our Bikini Revolution series. Those are two of my favorite series in the podcast, and I highly recommend you listen to those if you're interested in improving your relationship with food. So we have tons of rules associated with eating, right? Especially if we've been dieting for a long time, which was totally my life, and I know it's the story of many of our listeners. And, you know, those dieting rules can be so ingrained in us that the mere moment of eating gets very stressful, and we turn off instead of tuning in to the flavors and the textures and the temperatures and the colors and how filling or how satisfying something is. So that's one of the reasons why food Houdini-like escapism can happen, right? We are looking forward to our meal, but we have so many rules associated with it that we zone out because we've got this huge noise inside our heads when it comes to the food we're eating and how much, right? That's one. Another reason could be that if we're eating foods that we've previously labeled as forbidden, or naughty, or bad, or fattening, or special occasion foods, what we tend to do is we tend to flee the moment of eating. And we sometimes gobble the food up quickly, right? Like a little kid who's afraid that it's going to be taken away or that he's going to be punished for it. Who has been in this situation? I wish I was in front of you right now and we could do like a show of hands, right? Because this was totally me whenever I had something that was something I had labeled as naughty, forbidden, fattening. I would eat it up so quickly because it was kind of like I didn't want to be there and see that I was doing that. And also that I was just kind of afraid somebody else was going to eat it and take it away from me. Remember that when it comes to food and eating, we've learned these patterns very early on and they continue to accompany us. So it might seem very childish and weird, but it actually might be happening to you. So pay attention when this happens and see what's going on. So what's going on many times is we don't want to listen to our inner banter about how we feel about this food, right? Or how we feel about our bodies, or the preconceived notions that we have of what we have to do later as penance for eating this food, right? We don't want to hear that. So we completely go into our Houdini-like escapism. It's much easier to eat without awareness when these thoughts take over. So we just zone out. That's the second reason. Third reason I find for this escapism when we eat is the opposite of this that I just mentioned, right? If we're eating foods that we've previously labeled as quote unquote good or all you can eat foods, diet friendly foods, waste friendly foods, right? Especially if we've been dieting forever, we have these certain foods that we have labeled as totally possible and great and okay, and we don't have to worry about them. I don't want to give examples because that can vary for different people, but you know what they are if you've ever gone on a diet, right? And we use that free pass opportunity to zone out. I've talked about this a lot, about those all-you-can-eat buffet foods. And I'm not talking about going to an all-you-can-eat buffet. I'm talking about these foods that we feel are completely, you know, available to us in any quantity we want because somebody said that that was an okay food, low in calories or low in fat or whatever, you know, whatever diet you are on. So we use this free pass. We zone out. We don't even pay attention to those foods that we're eating. And believe me, if there's one thing our society is currently suffering from, it's an addiction to distraction. Carlos and I can't go to a restaurant now. We look like these crazy couple of people who are staring at people who are staring into their phones. So because we can't believe it. Everybody is escaping a moment that is so precious, being in front of the people that you love, eating. Just last night, because my back was out and cooking was completely off limits, we went to this diner that's really close to our house, and I managed to sit long enough to eat my vegan burger there. And everybody around us was on their phone. And we're suffering from this addiction to distraction. So we grab our phone, we turn on the TV, we made a decision that what we served on the plate is fine. So now we can go, right? We can go, we can watch, and it's totally fine. And with this gadget-friendly society that we have nowadays, which has made it the norm, right, to use up every free second of mental space with any activity that distracts us, because we live in this moment, you know, the moment of eating, it can become another excuse to leave the present moment. So it's one of those easy passes. It's an easy pass to just completely get distracted and look at something else. So that was reason number three. And remember, both the quote unquote forbidden foods and the good foods, quote unquote good foods, they are taking us out, not because of the food themselves. Remember, food is completely neutral. It's because of this thought process that we go into when we have these beliefs about food, right? Okay, last one I want to talk about last reason for this Houdini-like food escapism. And this is that our minds are so trained to be on overdrive. It's just the way we're wired, right? That any moment that could possibly relax us or make us sit down and quiet our minds, like, for example, the moment of eating, it feels like the perfect moment to overplan, overobsess, overthink. And we again leave the moment of eating, even when our bodies are moving the fork right into our mouths in this mechanical fashion. It's the same thing that happens when we go to sleep at night, right? We lay on our beds, and for those first 30 minutes, our head is just going, going, going nonstop because we're wired. We're wired to think and to overthink and to overobsess. So today's episode is about changing that wiring. And that's what I've been doing in my little MBSR course. I always think I'm going to mess up those letters, but yeah, MBSR. And, you know, there are just so many reasons, guys, why we tend to zone out during mealtimes. And ironically, many of them actually come from a messy relationship with food and from feelings of guilt, right? That's where they come from. When really, and you know, in reality, the first and most important thing you can do if you want to leave food rules behind and improve your relationship with food and your body is be completely present in the moments, both before, during, and after meals. So we kind of want to go out. We kind of want to escape when actually being present is what's going to help us. And it's kind of a surrendering of sorts, right? It's a relaxing moment in which you let the food you're enjoying guide the way. That's what mindful eating really is. And just as we try to get very present before eating, kind of to gauge how hungry we are and what we feel will satisfy and nourish us, and we make those decisions of what we're going to eat, and just how we try to get centered to gauge if we've reached that place in which we're comfortably full and we can stop eating, being really present during the meal will also help us with relaxation and satisfaction, and it will certainly help us understand how we are relating to food and whether we've had enough. So those three moments are very important. But now let's talk about the raisin. You know, I told you that I've recently started this course, this MBSR course, which, as I mentioned, stands for Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction. It's one of the oldest and most scientifically studied approaches to mindfulness. Mindfulness is basically a very fancy term for meditation, but I understand why they created this term, because when we think of meditation, we're thinking of a Buddhist monk on a mountaintop that is trying to take all of thoughts out of their mind. And anybody who has tried meditation, you know, traditional forms of that kind of meditation, and has maybe failed, like me, has kind of a rejection to this term. But mindfulness is different, and especially this approach, this MBSR approach. And it's why I decided to try it. And it's been unbelievable. So mindfulness-based stress reduction has been clinically, scientifically proven to help patients with a number of conditions, not to mention the average Joe like me, right? It's helped people find a more balanced and blissful relationship with ourselves and our experiences. And it's a method that is truly about presence, right? About quieting the mind, but not in the way you might expect. It's about quieting the mind and living your life being your true self. It's pretty amazing how just a few minutes of exercise, of this exercise daily, can help. It's not just one, there are so many, but you know, of this approach. And this approach to mindfulness and meditation is less about the will certainly drive you insane quest to avoid all thoughts while you sit in a very uncomfortable position. Right? We've all been in that situation. It's not that style of meditation. Instead, it's a very approachable method of actually focusing on what is happening at that very moment. So instead of trying to take everything out of your mind, it's about tuning in to what's going on, whether that is sensations in the body or a specific visualization. And yes, the tastes and textures in your mouth as you eat whatever you're eating, that vegan cupcake, for example, right? So let's think about it as less of a Buddhist monk on a mountaintop and more of a Mr. Miyagi catching the fly between chopsticks. So you're kind of doing something, you're actively doing something to clear the mind of all the banter that is always kind of just intoxicating us. So you have something to focus on, which to me made all the difference after years of failing miserably at meditation. If you've ever tried meditation and you think that it's not for you, I'm totally on your boat. It was so hard for me. My mother was a meditator and she tried to teach me this since I was a very, very young little kid. And I was horrible at it because it made me go insane because my mind was so busy, crazy busy. And I thought I was always trying to get it back, which now I've learned is part of the process. But what's interesting is that I went into this course thinking that it would help me be present and slow down kind of those special moments in my day because I felt really that things were rushing past me, possibly because I have too many things on my plate. I have to work on that. But that's what I was feeling. I wanted things to slow down. I wanted to be able to be really fully present with my husband, with my dogs, with my family, with, you know, when I do something for Bramble, when I'm with students, when I'm, I don't know, cleaning my house, anything at all, I wanted to be really present. And of course, I also wanted to help. I wanted it to help ease stress. But lo and behold, the first exercise and almost all the reading materials of the first week of the course had to do with food. And they had to do with eating. And I think it's such an incredible sign. And when I saw that, I said, this has to be my first podcast episode when I come back after my little break last week. Because it makes total sense, right? We eat three or more times per day. It's an activity that is supposed to bring us pleasure and excite the senses. And it's also 3+ daily opportunities to practice the act of being present. And it turns out that not only does eating mindfully help us eat mindfully, right? Practicing that helps us improve that, but it also helps us practice this act of being present and at ease no matter what's going on around us throughout the rest of our day. So this course isn't made for people who are struggling to improve their relationship with food. And yet, it's food that is used as the example to try to bring awareness and getting centered and trying to, you know, slow down and clear your mind in everything else and other aspects of your life. So I thought it was just unbelievable. And I knew eating mindfully rocked. You know, after all, it's about 50% of what I teach you through Bramble, but I didn't know it was also a big secret weapon in finding this state of calm and presence in other aspects of life, right? So basically, this is a win-win. So let's talk about the raisin exercise. You know, the first time I did the raisin exercise, I thought I knew the drill because I've been doing mindful eating for a while now, and I just thought I thought I knew it all. And I thought it would be like many of the mindful eating practices that I've taught you, right? You put it in your mouth, you chew it, you taste it, you focus on how it feels going down your throat, you focus on how you're feeling and whether you're hungry for another one. And sure, this was all part of the first part of the exercise. But then it took things one step further, okay? Now, whenever I'm talking about this raisin exercise, don't worry because I'm linking the video to how to do it in the post that goes with this episode. And if you also just go to YouTube and you look for the raisin meditation, you're going to find it. And I highly recommend you do it because it's just going to give you a perspective that you might not have had when you're trying to practice mindful eating and putting something in your mouth. So it starts with all of the things that I've been teaching you, how it feels in your mouth, the taste, the texture, the temperature, really focusing on that. Those are the tools that are going to help us get centered during our meal and prevent that zoning out. But in this particular exercise, which is, it's basically an exercise in which you have to eat a raisin and try to think of all of these things while you're eating it, right? Try to feel and experience the taste and the textures of that little raisin, tiny, tiny raisin that you're eating. But it took it a little bit further with this exercise. It made us think, as we were eating the raisin and, you know, sensing that it's got a wrinkly exterior and looking at its brownish golden color and its strong but sweet taste, it got us, they got us thinking in the course about how it got from seed to the raisin rolling around on your tongue. And this was something that I had never experienced or thought about when it came to mindfulness and mindful eating. And I thought it was genius because it just gave me such an appreciation. So here's kind of how it goes, right? This exercise guides you from the sensory aspects of smelling and tasting and chewing and savoring and even listening to the raisin. I think we even had to listen to it. Yeah, it sounds very weird, but it's part of the exercise, I think. It takes us from there, from the sensory part, to thinking of the farmer who prepared the soil and planted the seeds and watered and weeded the plants and looked after them, right? About how the water got to the farm in the first place and how the sun hit those plants just right to, you know, be able to grow the grapes that would then be dried and then boxed and then transported and labeled and taken to the store and placed on a shelf and bought by you and taken home and taken one and popped it in your mouth. Do you see how these foods that we eat that nourish us are so taken for granted when we zone out and don't feel and taste and appreciate things? It's why I love when people say grace, whatever denomination you have, whether you do it silently or out loud, whether it's religious or non-religious, whether it's just a little gratitude prayer before eating. It helps us get into that place of appreciating that the food in front of us is kind of precious. And especially when it comes to slowing us down, this is like a secret weapon I hadn't experienced. And I just had to tell you about it. And I want you to experience it for yourselves, which is why I'm including the video at the end of the post that goes with this episode. So, you know, it was about how the conditions had to be just right for the plants to produce that perfect fruit, about how someone had to manually pick those grapes and remove the stems, and all for that little tiny raisin that we never think twice about, right? I think that's why this exercise is done with a raisin, because it's something that is just so, something we would think of as not important. And, you know, as unless you're my niece and nephew, my little niece and nephew, who they're twins and they're two, they love raisins. So to them, they might have a full appreciation of the raisin. But for most of us, it's something that's just kind of not important, right? So as you sit there imagining this and really focusing on that slightly chewy texture and how it's almost hard, but it's also soft, and you get, you know, hints of caramel and a little saltiness and lots of earthy tones. And, you know, you just realize that you've just had a love affair with that raisin. But what has really happened is you've had a love affair with the present moment. And that's what the raisin exercise is all about. And it's just a little metaphor for how things can go when you try to eat mindfully, and how things can go when you're looking at your kids playing, and instead of going through your to-do list, you actually watch them and you look and you savor the moment. And I think that's so special. And this raisin exercise is going to take you right there. It's going to take you right there. It's so, so powerful. And this is so quick. You only have to do it once to just reap the benefits. So, you know, just imagine where this exercise would take you if it was a brownie that had chocolate that had been fermented and taken from the cacao pods, and flour that was milled, and sugar that was produced from the sugar cane. I mean, I can promise you that the experience of eating it would greatly change, right? Instead of stuffing your mouth quickly with as much brownie goodness as you could muster before the guilt trip kind of got in your head, you would probably notice what it actually tastes like. and how just a little bit will go a long way into feeling satisfied and happy with it, right? How instead of guilt, you're left with a sense of the utmost gratitude for having that food in front of you. That those ingredients were kind of created and put together in such a way to produce this amazing treat. I use a brownie because I think it's one of my favorite desserts, only next to pie. I love pie, but brownies are awesome. You know, all of this effort that took to creating this amazing, perfect recipe and these ratios just right to give you those flavors and those textures, that you have the pleasure of eating it and that you can enjoy it to the max. And then you can just move on with your day until the next meal is in front of you. You don't have to add all of these beliefs and guilt, this guilt trip on top. You just have to really be present with it, enjoy it, savor it, and see when you're really actually satisfied without feeling that it's going to be taken away and you're never going to have it again. When we remove all of these rules, and please listen to those two series that I mentioned, the Bikini Revolution series and the Dieting Chronicles series if you need help with that part. But this can change so many things. And this you can do with everything you eat, right? You know, a little tiny raisin, even after thinking I had all of that mindfulness stuff down, it taught me so much when it comes to mindful eating. And, you know, not only will you be able to enjoy every bite of food and truly experience the satisfaction that comes with it, but it's a great practical way to focus on something when your mind starts to naturally wander. So if you're eating, and that part, when I teach mindful eating, that the question I get asked and the worry people have is, okay, yeah, I have the idea and I understand and I can see the benefit to it, but my mind just goes off. It takes off. Well, just you can bring it back with this little exercise. Think of the ingredients that are in the food. Think of the tastes and the textures and the temperatures, of course, but also think of what was in it. Who made it? How much time it took to prepare it? It's not good to just eat it in 2 seconds. It's kind of, no. Do you know this feeling we have when we see this beautiful plate of food or this cake, beautiful, amazing, decorated cake, and we say it's too beautiful to eat? That's kind of the idea. Not that you're not going to eat it, but that to take a few moments to appreciate it. And this raisin exercise for me was the perfect key to getting into that moment and into the groove. So, of course, I'm not going to leave you, as I mentioned, without the raisin exercise, because although I've kind of mentioned what it's about, I want you to practice it today with the raisin itself and actually do it while watching the video. And then you can try to practice this during your meals this week, right? Focusing on where your food came from, the effort you or somebody else took into growing it and preparing it, and the feelings of hunger and fullness you're experiencing throughout the meal. The temperature, the texture, the flavors, whether it reminds you of something, whether you like it and why you like it. And let the rest of that moment of eating get blurry. Let the rest of what's going on around you get blurry. If you're in a busy restaurant or if people around you are arguing about something or there's noise, just try to get it blurry and focus on the wonderful pleasure of eating that delicious food with no guilt and no expectations following. Just be in that moment. And, you know, this is, of course, meant as a great exercise to practice eating mindfully, the main tool that, you know, I've used to heal my relationship with food and step away from dieting. That's the number one thing I've done. But if you're feeling adventurous and you could use a bit of that feeling through the rest of your day, take this act of being fully present into other activities that don't include eating, right? If you're going for a walk, listen to the crunchy sound of your shoes on the trail or on the pavement. Or if you're trying to fall asleep at night and you want to quiet the mind, focus on how the sheets are feeling against your skin or where your body is pressing against the bed and the pillow, right? If you're engaging in conversation with somebody, be fully present and listen. Listen to what they're telling you without focusing so much on what you're going to say next, but just listen. Try to be a good listener. You know, it can make a world of difference. And no matter how you practice, this act of being relaxed and present and centered will teach you so much about your daily habits. It's going to teach you so much about your eating and about your relationship with the world and with yourself. It doesn't matter what you use to practice, or why you're practicing it, whether it's for food or otherwise, it's going to help all of those areas. Because being present and learning this tool, it's just going to work with everything. So I really want you to watch that video. It's from one of the top experts of MBSR, and I think it's going to help you so much on this quest we're going through together, right? To experiencing mindful eating and all of its benefits, and to really help you with the practical aspects. Because this is what I love about this video. It's going to help you with what to actually think about when you're eating. Because sometimes just saying, okay, just try to focus on the food and on the moment and what you're feeling, it's not as simple, right? It's not as easy. So this is a great tool. There are many others, but this is one of them. And I want you to have fun with it. I want you to remember that practice makes perfect. And if your mind wanders, even while you're doing this exercise or while you're having a meal this week, while you're trying to do this, just bring it back and just continue from where you left off. It's totally fine, and it's part of it. Our minds are always going to wander when we do these types of things. And it always wanders for me when I'm practicing mindful eating and when I'm eating. It's normal, but it's about bringing it back when it goes away. So I can't wait for you to practice this, and I want to hear how it goes. So leave us comments in the post that goes with this episode. I also want you to tell me what the biggest challenge for you is when it comes to eating mindfully. I know that it can be challenging for some people. I know that it can be hard. You think you've mastered it, and then you feel you've taken steps back. So what is it specifically that is being kind of difficult? And we can work through it in the comments that go with this episode at bramble.com, which you can use our little search bar, or Google lessons from a raisin and the word bramble, and you're going to find it on Google. So that is basically all I have for you today. Just some thoughts on those lessons that a little raisin taught me and how they can help us so much. And of course, as usual, I can't thank you enough for being here and for listening. I'm going to head on over to my floor now to lay my back on the hard floor. It sounds like a dream right now because the pain has been just getting worse and worse as I've been recording. So now I get my little break on my rug, and I hope you're having a lovely, relaxing day. I hope you can be very present in all the lovely things your day has in store for you today. And as usual, of course, if you want to support our podcast, all I want you to do is leave us a rating and review on iTunes or on Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And it's really easy to do. It just takes a few seconds, and we really couldn't appreciate it more. If all you have to do, if you do it from your phone, is open your podcast app and click write Bramble in your little search icon, and you'll find our podcast. You go to our podcast and you click the reviews tab and you click write a review, and you leave it there. And you can also do it on iTunes on your computer by searching for Bramble in the little search bar and finding our podcast and leaving us a rating and review there. I am so grateful if you can take the time to do this, because this is what helps us rank higher in searches. If people search for dieting or vegan or cooking or any of the things we talk about and is looking for support. And, you know, this content is always free and it's going to always be free. So what we want to do is reach more people and have them be helped by this information, because that's why I decided to start this podcast. So you can help us do that by leaving us a rating and review. And I couldn't be more grateful. And we are back to our normal schedules. So that means that, of course, I'll see you next week on Thursday for our next episode, because that's our little date here at the Bramble Podcast. Have a great week and weekend, everybody. See you next time.